Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon.
All right, it's time for the main event of the evening. Making their way to the track, he hails from the great state of Nevada, a former NASCAR champion, weighing in at 185 pounds, Rowdy Roddy Bush. From Middletown, Connecticut, weighing in at 181 pounds, Joey Sliced Bread Logano.
Ladies and gentlemen, race fans and fight fans around the world, are you ready? Oh, wait, we can't say that. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Lap Traffic. How we doing? my name's Tony Smith. Welcome to the show. As always, I got the professor here, Brandon Crowd. How you doing, Mr. Crowd?
Sup? What's going on?
How are you, buddy?
Great. How are you?
Good, man. Hey, better than we were a week ago.
So it's a little brighter down here.
A little brighter, yeah.
A little warmer.
Not candle powered and generator powered. And, so we had mentioned that, you know, in our last show, we were under, you know.
Duress.
Duress. That's a good word, yeah. So we felt like 4 or 5 days without power here in Detroit.
It was nuts, man. And there were some people as of yesterday that still don't have it back. I was on Twitter and I was tweeting out a picture of the DTE Energy outage map, showing everybody how much of a power outage there was and updates. It was crazy.
It was everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, no, basically, it was all of lower Michigan.
DTE said it was their largest
power failure
in history from a natural disaster standpoint. I think it was the brownout, 10 plus 15. I don't even remember how long ago. I think it was bigger. But, people, they brought in crews from Kentucky, Indiana. Like, they were working.
But here's the difference, though. So there was a brownout, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, or whatever it was. But here's the difference, though. That was in August. Okay.
Yeah it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the difference. My food's going bad in my refrigerator. I don't mind in August, right? I'm going to throw my beer on ice. I'm going to fire up the grill. I'm totally okay with all of that.
Yeah.
When it's 5 degrees outside, like it was this time, different story.
A little bit. Especially with a wife.
Yes, sir.
She was not happy.
Maria was pissed. No,
yeah. We're going to a hotel. I'm like, good luck. Go ahead. You find one and I'll go stay there. That was not happening.
Yeah.
People were asking about the show last week, and all that. And that's very cool. And we're sorry that it took so long.
Yeah, but we're back on track, though. Sorry about that. Believe me, we were pressing hard to do everything we could to get it on.
Yeah.
Up online as fast as we could. But another good week.
Yeah. Over 3,100 total downloads.
400
new ones last week.
A little over 400. Yeah. Lots of new followers. Lots of good comments. Yeah. So keep it coming.
Keep retweeting. Keep sharing. Tell your friends, and keep it growing.
Absolutely.
What's up today there, sir?
Well, we are going to recap Vegas, of course, the stages in week three, fantasy updates like we'll do every week, second edition of the Crew Chief Corner, some good questions that came in, and we have lots of stuff to talk about. You want to jump right into it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Here we go. All right. Xfinity. I'm not going to lie. I didn't see much of the Xfinity race.
Yeah, so at least one of us are going to try to watch at least one of this Xfinity or Cup. It didn't happen this week.
It wasn't by choice.
No.
Okay? I did catch a recap. I found it was replayed.
Yes.
So I did get to see some of it later, but Saturday I didn't.
I was confused. I thought they ran the Cup race on Saturday.
Well, it appears as though they're running it twice a week now. They're running two a day. Right? So, it's crazy. I mean, so Kyle Busch wins stage one, Keselowski two, Joey Logano wins the race.
Yeah. Tony, with the exception of Ryan Reed winning the Xfinity race at Daytona and Elliott Sadler winning stages 1 and 2 at Daytona,
yep,
a Cup driver has won every stage and race for the last 2 Xfinity races at Atlanta and Vegas. And I would expect that that trend will continue.
I think you're right, and I'm not sure that I like it.
Well, it's funny you say that because, I mean, by now it's old news from when Jeff Gluck posted it out. But he sent out a tweet, and I'm just going to read a snippet of it because I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah, go.
So, Cup driver started from the pole, led every single lap of stage 1, but then got passed by Cup driver early in stage 2. Later, Cup driver took the lead from said Cup driver with the help of pit strategy and drove to stage 2 win. Ultimately, the Xfinity Series victory went to a Cup driver who snapped a personal one-race winless streak in the series. In all, Cup driver and his fellow Cup drivers combined to lead a total of 199 of the 200 laps for the Xfinity race.
Absolute craziness.
Tony, this is the first time on our podcast that we're talking about Cup and Xfinity drivers there. Your thoughts, sir?
My thoughts, you know, boy, it's a tough one. So if you ask NASCAR, if you ask Mike Helton and Brian France, and you know, they'll say they need the Cup drivers in the Xfinity Series to put butts in the seats and nobody will watch the race if not. But they also want to bring in new drivers into the Cup Series. Well, dude, it's one or the other. Okay? So 5 of the top 7 drivers in the Xfinity race the other day were Cup drivers. You know who really won that race? Was Justin Allgaier.
Right.
I think he came in 4th.
Okay. Yeah. I agree.
Truthfully, like, I want him to go to victory lane. You know what about his sponsors? What about his career path? I mean, you know.
It's funny you say that. And, you know, a couple years ago, NASCAR got into the, in my opinion, the right frame of mind in terms of how they awarded points. In terms of Cup drivers not being eligible for the Xfinity Championship and not eligible for Xfinity points, so that the championship definitely was going to an Xfinity regular and not a Cup substitute. So I think that was a step in the right direction. But I think it's really interesting that you say, you know, let's let whoever is the first place Xfinity,
the regular
Xfinity guy running for the Xfinity Championship, let's put him in victory lane. Now, you know who's not going to be happy about that is Kyle Busch, who wants to add to that record long Xfinity most races won. You know, I think that would be really interesting, and I think it would help in terms of getting people introduced to who some of these Xfinity drivers are that don't follow the sport or are only going to that race because they're there for the weekend.
They're never going to know their names because they got buried and nobody cares. Yeah, one more time. I'm breaking a new set of lips. Nobody cares who came in 6th or 7th place.
Right.
And actually, they weren't in 6th or 7th place. They were 2nd,
right,
or 3rd.
But yes, yeah. You know, I think it does a lot of good for the sport. I know that it helps me not necessarily watch the race from is Kevin Harvick running the Xfinity Series? It doesn't bother me to not have Cup drivers in the Xfinity race because I'm a diehard racing NASCAR fan.
Right.
I want to watch the cars go around the track. I want to see who the up-and-coming stars are. I understand why some of the Cup drivers want to do it in terms of helping bring sponsorship money into the team to support to get those Xfinity regulars running full time in the Xfinity Series. I understand why NASCAR wants them in there to help sell those tickets. I get that. You know, if you've got 80,000 people showing up on Sunday, you know, if you can get a quarter of that to show up on Saturday, that's probably a good day for NASCAR because you've got all of these people that are already out there camping and tailgating for the weekend. Those are the people that are going to go to the race on Saturday.
And
for
they're already there. They're right. Going anyways.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether or not, you know, I don't know whether Justin Allgaier wins or, I mean, I would rather watch those guys and help them. So here's what I always equate it to. It'd be like saying, so like Kyle Busch, owns that record, and he keeps going down to the Xfinity race and in winning more races. It's like Miguel Cabrera going down to the minor leagues and saying that he's a home run champion in the minor leagues. Well, yeah, he is. Yeah. He should be, yeah. Right?
I mean, absolutely. Yeah, it's you know, it's kind of like when you know, hockey, when they go and if they got to go and play in the Double A series, yeah. Or I'm not even sure what the hockey minor league series is called, but I know they go there. You know, be like, I guess football players playing in college. You know, yeah. There's always that
nobody goes backwards.
No,
except in this occasion. But anyways, well, I guess we'll have to keep an eye on it. And
yeah, no, I mean. I don't think it's going away anytime soon, but I think they could address and make a bigger ordeal out of the Xfinity regulars and their placing than, oh, gee, Kyle Busch won the Xfinity series. Like,
well, what about this? What about making the Cup drivers start at the back of the pack?
That'd be interesting.
That'd make it a little more interesting.
Fine. Hey, you know what? If there's five of you, all right, you guys can qualify to see who's starting the best out of you five.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, start towards the back of the
pack. So you're gonna start 35th, 36th, 37th, whatever.
Like that. Drive through the field.
I don't know.
I'm sure they will. But, hey, you know what? At least it will let the Xfinity regulars have a shot at winning maybe at least the first stage.
Right.
Getting extra points for them, you know.
Yeah,
could be interesting. So that would be interesting.
So I'm,
I like
you
that.
Know,
some
I'm,
good ideas.
I'm
like
gonna
that.
Tweet that out.
I like that.
You know, I'm a Twitter.
You get
guy.
A hold of somebody.
I'm a Twitter guy now.
Now, yeah. So. Yeah. Oh, what, five followers? Oh, by the way, yeah. Thanks for following your own podcast. By the way, maybe you should get on that.
Have I not done that?
No.
You guys suck. I ain't listening to you. No, I get enough of this. No, I'm kidding. No, there'll be way more of that coming up here.
Yes.
It's been quite a week.
Crazy. Yes.
So. But all right. We're good, though. So.
Now
on to
the real Cup
Sunday,
drivers. Yeah.
I had electricity and everything.
We did have electricity finally.
Yeah.
So Truex, man, took three races.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they didn't take long, did it?
Nope.
And we got our first sweep.
I wonder what the over-under was on.
I don't know.
That would have been a cool bet. I wonder where that line was placed to see how many races
it was
going to
take. I don't think
it
would have been long, but I would have put my money on Harvick. But
I would have said Harvick at Phoenix would have been...
Yeah.
And it was almost Harvick at Atlanta, but I digress.
Yep.
Yeah, so Truex.
Well, to be fair, Keselowski tried screwing it up.
Yes, he did.
And he had it until his brake problems at the end.
That was a crazy type of mechanical issue to have go wrong at a mile and a half track, you know, with two laps to go. I was surprised to see that be. I thought it was a fuel issue at first.
I bet you weren't as surprised as Brad was when he pushed down the brake pedal and nothing happened.
Well, fair.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it impacted him a little bit more.
Brad's got a brand new racing stripe right up the backside of his driver's suit there. It's but he held on to it, got it home. But Truex ran good. He ran great all day. And yeah, no, so it's good to see him back in victory lane. So,
yeah.
Didn't take long, but.
Harvick, a little tire issue there, lap 7.
Man, that was a hard lick.
It was a hard hit, too. And what was interesting, you know, so
I was just going to ask you that if you were listening
to
him.
Yeah, so I had his radio on, and he really didn't say, anything. I didn't hear him say, I had a vibration, you know, wheel feels, nothing. I didn't hear, he made no reference to that. At all, and then all of a sudden, boom, in the wall. He mentioned in his interview when they caught him getting out of the infield care center that he had a vibration for about five laps. But you know, typically, if Harvick's got an issue on the radio, he chimes in and he says something about it. You know, I don't know if he was just waiting to see if it was going to continue. You know, maybe he was giving it another few laps because they were really close towards the end of the stage right there. There was only 10 laps
to
go.
Just
trying to hold on to it, make adjustments, you know, at the end of stage one. But the car was moving. He started 19th and he was making a charge towards the front. So I was surprised to see, at least not hear about a potential issue with his car, and it just cut and boom off the track.
You know,
he went.
So he said, you know, in that same interview when he got out of the infield care center, that you know he felt a vibration, wanted to see if it would go away. Well, it's kind of funny you say it, like vibrations usually don't fix themselves,
right? Yeah.
And if it stops, it's usually because that part of the car left. Yeah. The vehicle. Okay. You know, they don't magically just fix themselves.
Fix themselves. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I understand just holding on to it and trying to tough it through.
Yeah.
But you know, one of the things that I did notice is that especially on the Stewart Haas cars, they were running a lot of negative camber on the right front tire, and that could have gone through. I know that Dale Jr. had a little bit of that. Negative camber, in layman's terms, if you're looking at the passenger front tire, it would be like if you kicked the top of the tire in. And if you look at those cars, you'll see that right front tire is leaning in. So you're really putting a lot of pressure on the inside part of that shoulder, what they call the shoulder of the tire. So I know they're running a lot of negative camber, and I don't know if that had anything to do with it or if he ran over something. But glad he's okay, because that was a hard hit for sure. But Stewart Haas, tough day all the way across the board. Just started with Kevin, but Danica blew up. That was an upper end, something in the heads valve train somewhere that blew up. That smoked everybody. I didn't even know mosquitoes there for a while.
No, yeah, that was funny. It looked like the burnout.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, and then Kurt Busch, who was wildly unhappy with his setup, and was screaming on the radio.
He was not happy with his setup at Atlanta either. He's you know, Daytona. He's got the win, but his cars the last 2 weeks have not been to his liking at all.
No, but he had another battery issue. So this battery issue thing is weird. So I'm keeping my eye on this one, and we'll be talking to our battery expert about this as well.
For those keeping track out there, this is week 4 of the Tony Smith conspiracy issues. Folks, we're going to keep you up to date on this all season long, how many weeks we can keep this Tony Smith conspiracy thing going.
All right, so that's 3 batteries in 3 weeks.
I'm not doubting. I just am throwing a little humor out there for the listening folk.
And Kurt Busch, you know, when they were putting batteries in, I noticed that they're 2 lithium ion batteries instead of 1 lead acid battery like the RCR cars were. I'm watching this stuff hard, so
and they call me the nerd.
Stay tuned. Oh, I totally nerd out on that tech stuff, man. I do. I I'm a crew chief, right, man. I'm looking at the details.
Now Clint Bowyer finally got his top 10.
He did.
Which I was very happy about. Hopefully that gets him some momentum going.
Yeah, he'll be fine. I think he'll be fine.
Yes. I would have been really curious to see what would have happened with Harvick had it not brought the caution out with 10 laps to go in stage one. Tony, I don't know if you noticed this, but the fuel window for Vegas, they said at the start of the race, was 52 to 58 laps.
Yeah.
And that first caution came out right around lap 20. And everybody pitted. So had stage one stayed green without Harvick bringing out that caution, it would have been interesting to see if there would have been some cars running out of gas there that would have impacted stage two and ultimately the end of the race
It would have stretched them pretty hard,
yes,
on gas.
Because they weren't going to come in. There was, you know, they were all going to, in my opinion, ride that out until stage one ended. And that would have been fun to see personally. But,
yeah, no. But, you know, we're already seeing some of that strategy playing out there. They're short pitting and pitting and, you know, all right, we're in 15th place, 18th place. We're, you know, we're coming in and, you know, we're gonna pit at a different time to gain some track position later and hope for some caution.
You know what I can't wait to see is the pit strategy at the first road course.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, that is going to be some interesting strategy, and that is going to be some fun racing to watch,
man. I
want to
see, though. Here's one thing that I'm real curious about, though. How hard are they going to race door-to-door, beating and banging, knowing that there is no bringing that car back out?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, and they have 5 minutes to fix it.
I'm also excited to see this, you know, Phoenix's first short track of the season, you know. I'm really excited to see how the stage is playing out, strategy for that. It's going to be interesting with the first short track, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in all honesty with Las Vegas, I don't think the timing of them announcing the fact that they're getting the second race there worked too well in their favor with the racing quality at the track. I was a little disappointed in the race itself. You know,
yeah.
I thought last week at Atlanta, which was another mile and a halfer, which didn't have hardly any cautions.
A little better race.
Was a lot better on-track racing than what we got at Las Vegas. And I think some of it just has to do with the fact smoother track? You know, Tony, did the aero package play a role?
Well, it did. I think because the smoother track, they're getting higher speeds. They're carrying higher, you know, higher cornering speeds, everything. It's just different. It's just, I mean, they have less aero. There's the whole package is, it was just different than Atlanta. And you know, I like the Atlanta race. It's bumping and, you know, it's lumpy and bumpy and everything, you know.
Reminds me of Darlington.
Yeah, right. It absolutely did. But they get a second week, you know. I mean, going to Las Vegas, it's always easy to draw people. They'll be in town. There's lots of stuff to do, clearly. So,
you know, I don't know if you heard this, but you know how they have the championship week there with the banquet and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. There's talk of either moving the final race of the season, getting that into the rotation, and possibly even getting rid of Homestead being the last race and getting it to Vegas so that they can just roll right into Champions Week.
Already there.
Right after it. Yeah. Yeah. So
that's doable. I don't know why it wouldn't be.
Right. Yeah. I just would hope that, you know, they can improve something in terms of putting a better racing product out there.
Mix
if that's
going to
be the last race of the season. Because if that would have been the, you know, obviously, if there were playoff implications and stuff like that, the race might have been a little bit more interesting. But they might have a little bit more work to do there before they get going on that.
Yeah.
Tony, did you see who finished second?
I did. Again. The bridesmaid himself.
Yeah, seriously.
Kyle Larson.
I'm surprised someone hasn't handed him like a bouquet, a flower,
right?
Something like, here, hey, catch this. There you go. See if he wins the next race. I think that would
bridesmaid,
be hysterical.
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Yeah.
Chase Elliott brought it home third. Another good run for him, man.
Ran good again. No surprise.
Those two boys are going to win races this year.
Without question.
You know, I think it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, normally we've got a couple drivers that hit anywhere from like the 4 to 6 wins a season.
Yeah.
If Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, some of these other guys continue to race like they are, I'm not saying that we're not going to have a few multiple win drivers, but I don't think the numbers are going to be that high for the, you know, the multiple wins for some of the drivers. I think it's going to be spread out a little bit more across some drivers.
Well, you have more drivers that are capable of winning.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know who I was surprised and they're not running well right now is JTG.
Yeah.
Buescher and Allmendinger, I think they finished like 23rd, 24th. Yeah. I mean, they're not hitting their groove right now, and it's just not normal to see those guys running a couple laps down.
Well, I think, especially I think for Dinger, I think the 2.5-mile tracks don't really play into his wheelhouse that much. I think he really likes the plate racing, and he likes the short racing, you know. So I'm curious to see. I would bet Dinger rebounds. Hopefully Buescher starts to show more of a steady improvement and finishes. But yeah, I think Dinger should be back in top 15s here with a couple of the short tracks.
He ever gets his crew chief back.
Details.
Yeah.
But let's see.
Standings.
Yes.
Shuffled up a little bit.
Harvick fell from first to ninth and is 41 points back. Keselowski holds a 1-point lead over the second place
Kyle Larson.
Chase is in third, 3 points back. Truex moves up to fourth.
See there, right there, a big weekend can move the needle.
And it's first to third is only a 1-point difference.
Yeah.
You know, that's nice. It's close. Like that. Johnson had a decent week and moved up from 32nd up to 18th. Junior still struggling a little bit. He only moved up to 27th. Still a little struggle there for Hendrick Motorsports.
And you see they what they did in the pits. They called him back in.
Yeah. Johnson with the lug nut issue. Yeah.
They brought him in. Let's double check.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those lug nuts.
That just shows the brilliance, I think, of Chad Knaus. Like, all right, hey, it's third race. If we got to, throw another one out the window, fine. But I'm needed here, so let's take care of the issue now. They had a rough start to the year last year, and look who was our champion.
Yeah,
so
that worked out okay.
I think so. Tony, what's next there, my man?
Man, there was this little thing that happened after the race.
Small, real small.
Yeah,
real small.
And it was, you know what's weird about that? If you go back and watch it, so, you know, race is over, cars are cooling down, coming in, and Kyle got out of his car, just kind of stood there for a second, rubbed his head. He went over, and a couple of officials came over to, you know, just check on him. He chatted with them. And then, you know, goes full WWE on him.
It's funny you say that, because Monday night, I actually went to Monday Night Raw.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. And so I actually was tweeting out pictures and stuff from there, the, you know, wrestlers and all that.
You superimpose Kyle's head on one.
I ain't that good, but I just thought it was so funny. Like, oh, yeah, we had a little wrestling Sunday night, and here I am there Monday night.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that was the weird thing, though. Like, he got out. He wasn't, like, throwing his helmet and, you know, visibly upset. And, you know, he wouldn't have had a conversation with these two officials. You know, like, they checked on him. Everything's fine. And, you know, he didn't seem to be highly agitated. Well, somebody said something between, you know, point A and point B or something, because he flipped the switch.
What did you see anything wrong with the on track?
You know, I didn't. It was hard racing. Yeah. So I think they didn't enter that corner in their normal line because they were dodging Keselowski. So they both kind of went in offline a little bit, and they're both fighting. I mean, both of those guys run at 110% anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the last lap and the last turn. And, you know, I didn't see anything blatant. I don't think, you know, Logano was trying to wreck his car and, you know.
I
don't know.
It's interesting that it's between these two now, because these two have had their fair share of incidents with multiple drivers.
Right.
And now it's the two of them.
Well, they were teammates.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now not so much.
No. Tony, is this good for the sport?
Well, you know, I tell you what, it's getting headlines.
Yeah,
I can tell you that, man. It's all over everywhere you look. So, you know, the crazy thing to me, though, it's NASCAR logic. And it's not even a fair statement. It's not NASCAR logic, because the same thing happens. I don't care if you're running Formula One or if you're running Sports Car Club of America or your local short track. The logic of the, you know, the track officials, you know, so let me get this straight. So no penalties, right?
Nope.
For this, right?
Nope.
So assault, no problem. Leave a lug nut loose, however. Oh, buddy, you're out of here. Don't come back for the next 3 weeks. I'm going to need $65,000 from you to come back. I'm missing something,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, well, and that's just, you know, it goes back to my issue with, you know, let's penalize points when wins matter. You know, it's just something NASCAR really needs to get a better grip on in terms of consistency and what makes sense from a penalty standpoint.
Yeah, it just seems like there should be something, and I don't know what that answer is. Now, interesting though, so if you look back, so Monday, M&M's. Issued a statement.
Yep.
Kyle's actions are not representative of our company, blah, blah, blah.
It's not the first time they've said that about his actions,
too. No, back in
too.
2011, they suspended him.
Yep. Yep.
Okay? His sponsor.
Yep.
So, just interesting.
So, I'm sure you remember the Joey Logano, Matt Kenseth retaliation by Kenseth.
Yep.
Do we, and if so, when does Kyle potentially get some retaliation back on Logano?
Because
it seems like he flat out said it's coming.
Oh,
you know,
it ain't going to be that long. I can tell you that. It's something tells me that he gets a chance at him soon.
Well, the first time Kyle Busch is two laps down, or running 36th. You know,
but here's the thing, man. I gotta tell you, Kyle's got to be careful. And you go way back, you can look this one up, but in a truck series race, he intentionally wrecked Ron Hornaday under caution.
Yes, I remember that.
You know, I mean, so... Yeah.
He's got a temper. There's no...
Oh, both those Bush boys do.
Yeah.
They both have a temper, yes. And I'm okay with them running a little hot.
Yeah.
That's fine, but you got to be careful. When you're intentionally wrecking people, now you cross the line
at
some point.
Well, that's the thing.
You know?
So, you know, the... Joey, not to say gets away with it, but it was the start, you know. So, all right, hard racing. All right. Kyle retaliates after the race on track. if Kyle retaliates on the track, well, then that's going to be intentional. And that's where, all right, does Mars come out again after a retaliation and say, all right, that's it. We're done with this guy. You know,
and
there's
they could, but man, what? So that's crazy, right? So then now, good thing for Joe Gibbs Racing, they don't have any shortage of drivers.
Sure,
they can go grab another driver in their program and plug him in. Bad for Kyle, but I'd be surprised if they did that. But man, he is pushing it.
He's close.
I mean, he really is.
You know, it's this is his first real, you know, noticeable incident since becoming a dad. What do you think Samantha said back to him at the RV, man?
I don't know. She knows. She knows who she married.
Right?
She knows who she married. But
here's the thing. I regrets it. Or I don't know. Maybe he doesn't regret it. But I guess I would just think, I didn't make the best view of myself out there on national TV. Look at the coverage it's getting. But, you know, the old adage, negative press is good press,
yeah,
right?
All press is good press. Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, that's just how the Bush boys are. So
yeah,
stay tuned there. I guess we'll see what happens. But why don't you hit some social media?
Absolutely. All right. Check us out on our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook at The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Lap Traffic PC. Make sure to download our shows on Podbean or iTunes. Make sure you subscribe. Send us a comment on iTunes, too, if you don't mind. So there's all of our accounts.
You can hit me up at Crew Chief Tony.
At Crew Chief Tony. And I actually have one, too, at BCrowd4, but I've actually just kind of just started using the Lap Traffic as my own personal outlet. So after the race, I found a Martin Truex Jr. autograph.
It's a nice one, too.
It was. You know, so I got maybe a little greedy. We were at like 650 followers, and I'm like, all right, if we get to 1,000...
How many sippy cups were you into the evening at that point?
Quite a few.
Okay.
Quite a few. I mean, the race was over, so quite a few.
I'm not judging. Right? I was just curious. Yeah.
If we got to 1,000 by the time we recorded tonight, that I'd give that away. We got a nice little push. We're well over the 700 mark, but we're still a little short of 1,000.
Why don't we just hold on till we hit 1,000?
Absolutely.
1,000 and give it a. Yeah.
Because I got something really cool. Once we hit 1,000 for the next milestone, that I think people are going to love. So, yeah, I wanted to get to that 1,000 so I could do the next one because I'm really excited about that. So, yeah, we'll keep that up there. When we hit 1,000 followers, we'll give away that Martin Truex Jr. 8x10 autograph. So make sure to tell your friends, family, coworkers, your dog. Give us a follow on Twitter, and we'll give that away when we hit 1,000. Tony, some shout outs to some new followers.
Yeah.
Facebook, Alan Burke from Farmington, Maine, followed our page.
I've never been to Maine. Have you been to Maine?
I have not been to Maine.
I don't know how that's possible, but I haven't been.
Kyle Ritz from Richmond, Kentucky. And Bob Hernandez from Alma, Michigan. So another Michigander joining the Lap Traffic
that
Nation.
That one I've been to.
Yes. On Twitter, big shout out to Kim Ashcraft at Rowdy Nation from Georgia.
I wonder what Kim's thoughts were on.
Yeah. Let us know, Kim.
Yeah, Kim, if you're out there, shoot us a note.
Van Hamel at Turbo Test from Wichita Falls, Texas.
Sounds like a fun guy.
Yes. Scott Glover at Scott Glover 4, big junior fan from Memphis, Tennessee. And a quick shout out to At The Road To Miami. Tony, these are two college guys who have a podcast, who love talking NASCAR. Jason and Garrett over At The Road To Miami.
Give them a follow.
I saw it, but I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
They do a show post-race on Sundays. It's a fun little listen. It's a fun listen. Their podcasts are a little shorter. You can pop a couple out on your way to work and on your way home.
All right.
They're fun to listen to. Fun guys. So
thanks for the tip, man. I missed
Jason
that one.
Jason Garrett, we enjoyed listening to. I checked out your show this week.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Tony will too. So.
Yeah, I'll get that done this week.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, welcome. Welcome to the show, guys. Thanks for following.
Still looking for a few logo ideas out there. We're
narrowing it down.
Yes, we are. If you've got anything you want to send us, we got a
few
PO
people
box.
Have. It's been cool.
So the Lap Traffic Podcast PO Box 725275, Berkeley, Michigan 48072, and that's on our website under the contact us page as well. Tony, on to some fantasy.
Who was it that jumped in this week?
Don't ask questions. I don't know the answer.
Okay. Well, no. I apologize because it has been a little chaotic this week. But someone sent us a note and said, "Oh my gosh, you know, I'm by myself. I have no one around me that follows NASCAR. I listen to the show. I want to be part of the fantasy league." And I told Brandon, I said, well, this is a no racer left behind program.
Yes.
And damn it, we're getting him in.
Well, actually, he goes, "Can I play the Kyle Busch role and maybe make a comeback and just come back and win?" I'm like, "All right, we got him in." And I apologize, I don't remember that person's name, but they're in.
It was funny.
Congrats to Chris Lowther, Chris Coble, and Cody, all for picking Martin Truex this week.
They're on a roll.
Yes. Cody and Chris are in a two-way tie for first with 30 points. Aaron and Chad have a two-way tie for second with 25. We have a three-way tie for third with 20 points between Rich, Crew Chief Tony, and Chris Lowther. And then there's the bottom three.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan, Jared, and myself.
Yeah, how's that going?
Have yet to
score three races, points. Too. Feel free to jump in at any time.
We're going to get to that.
Come on, Professor.
Don't get me started.
Giving us a head start? Or
yeah. I'm going to let you all lap me, and then I'm just going to come from behind.
Awfully sportsman of you.
And just to let everybody know, we haven't announced any prizes yet for it. There will be prizes, some autographs, not from us, because I don't think we're that popular yet.
Yeah,
but we will have some very cool prizes for the winners, and as we get a little bit more into the season, we'll announce what those are once we figure out what they are.
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story about autographs.
Yes.
So I was at just a month or two ago, I was down in Ocala, Florida, and if anybody's been there, you need to go to the Don Garlitz Drag Racing Museum, which is a phenomenal place.
You were telling me about that.
The place is incredible. I mean, for anybody, you have to be a drag race fan to appreciate what's going on there. It's really cool. Anyways, so I bought some stuff and, you know, whatever, hats and, you know, normal stuff. And I said, so I signed the receipt. And I said to the lady there, I said, "I don't know what a Don Garlitz autograph is worth, but I can tell you right now as I'm handing you this, a Tony Smith autograph right here is worth $49.96. Hold on to this one, and you will get $49.96 out of this. So
put it up on the wall.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Just got to turn it into MasterCard. Everything will be fine. But anyways.
Tony.
Yes, sir.
You ready to go to work?
Let's do it.
All right. It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief Tony Smith. All right. Welcome to the second edition of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief, Tony Smith. Anyone has a question for Tony, feel free to email it to us or use the hashtag AskCrewChiefTony. Tony, we have two questions for you today.
Yes, sir.
The first comes to us from our friends over at the PETM podcast.
I love those guys.
They're so awesome. I talk to them all the time.
Yeah.
They're so cool. I love those guys.
All right.
I believe Sherwin more than the other Rusty is asking, to date, Tony, who has thrown the best punch in a non-combat professional sport?
You know what a cool question too. And you know what, my initial reaction to that question, and there were some other people that jumped in there on it as well, was, man, me and Nolan Ryan and Robin Ventura. I mean, that was good. And I want to say Nolan Ryan went back in the game and finished pitching the game. I mean, he put him in a headlock and was just jackhammering him.
Yeah.
But it's not my pick.
Okay.
It's not my pick.
All right.
One up on YouTube. The Malice at the Palace.
Dude, get out of my head.
Dude. So anybody's not heard about this, this was like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, something like that. 10 years ago. Pistons, Pacers, you know, Ben Wallace and Ron Artest get into a shoving match. You know, bench is clear, normal stuff. Well, then a fan, this is in Detroit, a fan decides to chuck a beer and pegs Ron Artest. Ron Artest loses his shit.
He did. He climbed about half the way up the lower bowl.
He jumped into the stands and went after this dude. Yeah. Now we got fans involved. I mean,
it was nuts. Yeah. You Malice at the Palace. Google that.
Yeah, look
or
that,
YouTube
look,
it.
Yeah, look it up. And so to answer your question, that's the number one to me.
That's a real good one. He
changed his name. After that, he went to Meta World Peace.
Yeah.
As long as you don't chuck a beer at him, he'll be all Mr. World Peace on you.
Yeah. Our second question comes from Mick Rose at GoDucks42_Mick. Tony, do you think it will be easier for lower budget teams at road courses to get stage points with strategy?
I think it will, Mick. I think it'll. I think road racing in the NASCAR series really levels the playing field in general. And the reason why I say that is because these big budget teams, and we know who they are, they have the money to spend in the wind tunnels. They can get these cars, you know, down the straightaways quicker. They can get them through the corners quicker, the high speed, 180 mile an hour, turn two, you know, at Michigan, stuff like that. And that doesn't happen. That doesn't come into big play at Watkins Glen or Sonoma or some of those places. So I think it'll definitely, I don't even know what strategy will have to come into play. I think it's going to level it out. But yeah, they'll definitely be able to mess with some strategy because, you know, there's going to be cautions, you know, especially, boy, I mean, you get towards the end of that, those stages and they're going to start bumping and grinding.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
good question, Mick.
Yeah. All right. So that'll do it for edition number two of the Crew Chief Corner.
Yeah, and keep them coming, guys. You can hit me up at Crew Chief Tony. And remember, trust the crew chief.
Always, always.
Just good advice.
Tony.
Yes, sir.
Atlanta, mile and a half track. Number of speeding penalties at Atlanta.
Yep.
With new timing lines.
Yep, okay? Again.
Las Vegas, another mile and a halfer. Not that that necessarily plays a role. I know it's more or less the width of pit road, the length of the pit road boxes in terms of what the allowable speed is on pit road. But another mile and a half track, new timing lines as well, and we only had one speeding penalty.
Yeah, not as many, right? Not as many that time. They were, well, you know what? I mean, it's a learning curve. All this stuff is a learning curve, and after 10 of them, I guarantee they had those meetings, and the crew chiefs went back to the teams, and they dialed it down a little bit, or they made some kind of adjustment. You know what's interesting, though? You know, if you look at the digital dashes that they show, it's green light, green light, green light, green light, red light. Okay, well, Darrell Waltrip had a good point. How about can you give me a yellow light?
Right.
Can you let me know I'm getting close here?
Yeah.
You know,
at the 1 mile in the, you know, if the speeding penalty, or if pit road speed's 50, which means you can go to 54.9, at 53.9, could I get a yellow light?
Can you? You're
know?
Right, yeah.
So, you know, so, let me know. I only got a mile per hour to spare.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's interesting. I think maybe the teams adjusted, like you said, you know, they dialed that down. There was talk, and even Kevin Harvick said last week at Atlanta that it turned out he was close on like another five pit stops to where he was close to getting hit again. I would have been real curious to see really how close the other drivers were, how many were close. Like I said, I mentioned it last week, you know, maybe we could give him an extra, maybe we go 5.9 versus 4.9 miles per hour over, you know. I know they put these timing lines in to put it on the driver skill coming down and getting and exiting out of pit road. You know, it didn't seem to be a big issue this week at Las Vegas. But I think if we have a few more weeks like Atlanta, you know, maybe they get rid of a timing line or two, or maybe they give them an extra mile per hour.
Something will change in there, whether it's on the team side or on the NASCAR side. Something's going
to
give.
It'll be interesting to see it like a place like Bristol, where, you know, I think it's a 30-mile-per-hour pit road speed.
And
like,
depending on if you're on the back straight, you got to enter in turn one, go all the way around. You got to, you know, your pit space could be, you know, coming out of turn three.
Yeah, it's
really
that
tough.
Could be really tough. Tony, I hit the social media here real quick.
Social media, hit it up, man.
All right, once again, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook at The Lap Traffic Podcast, Twitter at Lap Traffic PC. Download us on iTunes or Podbean. Tony, one thing I forgot to mention during our social media, I did a Twitter poll the other day asking, if Kevin Harvick was going to win at Phoenix.
Boy, he likes that track.
With the response of, duh,
yeah,
or no. And had 101 votes. 60% said duh. Yeah. 40% said no.
And any other names thrown in there?
I only put, it was just yes or no to Harvick. That was all I did.
See, when you get a poll from the professor, you can always count on it being highly intellectual, like duh or no.
That's what I do.
There's not even there's like noise. It's like a noise. It's not even a word.
No.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Tony, next week we have our second guest coming on the show.
We do, Brad Yunker.
Yes, of Yunker Motorsports. We will be recording next week on Tuesday, and we will post it on Wednesday. But
probably an early Wednesday.
It'll be an early Wednesday. Yes.
Yeah, nice.
So very excited to have Brad on. I've been talking with his PR guy, and Brad's excited, and he might even come on for the whole show next week.
That'd
if
be cool.
Time permits for him, yeah, which yeah. would be cool. Tony, the odds are posted for Las Vegas this week, so I'm going to add in our odds here real quick.
So what is it, about 2-1 for Harvick?
Seriously, Kevin Harvick is plus 340, so a $100 bet on Kevin Harvick. If he wins, we'll get you $340. The next closest is Kyle Busch at plus 750, so a $100 bet. Kyle Busch wins, will get you $750. Junior is 8-1, or I'm sorry, Jimmy Johnson is 8-1. Jale Jr. is plus $1,500. $100 bet. Junior wins. Get you $1,500.
Man, he's got to get it together.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting. Casey Kane is like plus 4,000.
And he's been running pretty good.
Yeah. I was surprised to see that. So,
those Hendrick boys, I mean, you know, I want them to get it together here, you know, but I'm not going to lie. I'm not really that worried about it because,
right?
You know, they're pretty good.
I think they'll be all right. It's only week three. Yeah. Yeah. Tony, what's next week?
So next week, obviously, man, we're going to cover Phoenix, go over the fantasy results and whatever else pops up. Could be round number two. Who knows? You know, there's always something going on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You going with Harvick?
I think that's a safe choice. I better get some points.
So you're in the duh pile?
In the duh.
You're a duh.
Yeah.
Duh, duh, duh. Yeah. I'm going with Logano.
Oh.
You think he's going to
get past lap two?
Yeah. You know, like, assuming he doesn't get dumped. But yeah, we'll see. So that's what I'm going with. So, hey, everybody, thanks for joining us again. Another edition of Lap Traffic. We will see you next week.
See ya.